As we pursue ordination with you, at Christian Leaders Institute, your inclusion on the Christian Leaders Directory, this ordination that you are going to be receiving is in the order of Stephen or Phoebe of the Bible, and they were deacons. Now, in the Bible, there's qualifications for elders and deacons, and both were ministers in God's household. At Christian Leaders Institute, we're going to focus on ordaining you in the order of Stephen or Phoebe. Now, if some of you are already ordained as elders, that's fine. You're still going to be included in our ordination list. Others may have that local ordination. This is the one at Christian Leaders Institute. You may also be upgraded in your local area as elder. But for the purposes of the Christian Leaders Directory, our ordination is in the qualifications of deacon, or in the order of Stephen or Phoebe. So let's talk about these qualifications for deacons. In 1 Timothy 3, 8 through 13, we read the following. Now, I'm going to take this from the Young's literal translation to try to get specifically at the words in the Greek as they come to us in English. Ministrates, or deacons, or ministers, those in ministry, and it says this, in like manner, grave. Now, that word in the Greek means meriting serious consideration. Not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not given to filthy liquor, having the secret of the faith and a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Let them minister, being unblameable. Women, in like manner grave, meaning meriting serious consideration. Not false accusers, vigilant, faithful in all things. Ministrates, that is deacons, let them be of one wife husbands. The children leading well, even in their own houses. For those who did minister well, a good step to themselves do acquire, and much boldness in faith that is in Christ Jesus. So let's unpack all of these qualifications as you consider your calling into ministry. First of all, we're going to talk about ministrates, that is deacons. The Greek word is diakonos. This word specifically is used throughout the New Testament to indicate someone who is doing ministry, like 1 Thessalonians 3:2. And St. Timothy, our brother, God's minister, that's that word, diakonos, minister to diakonos in the gospel of Christ to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. So here, Timothy, that word diakonos, is used to minister to the faith. So it means minister, ministry servant, servant leader, a Christian teacher or pastor, technically a deacon or deaconess. So it's a servant word ordained to ministry, a minister. We read, in like manner, grave, meriting serious consideration, not double-tongued. And this word here is that reverent, honorable, proven, honest. Someone who has that sense of reputation, that someone who has over and over again proven honorable and honest. Someone who's, and then it goes further, not double-tongued, not someone who tells two stories, one story to one person, another story to someone else, saying different things to different people. So in that first sense, those qualifications are reverent, and also someone who doesn't tell two stories and tells a dependable account of everything that is before them. Not given to much wine. What that is talking about is not given to much wine. In other words, moderate, not addicted. Some people say, well, do leaders, ordained leaders, drink nothing? Well, in the Bible, moderation is taught. So a leader could, in careful moderation, drink alcohol, but the key word is moderation. Now, I will tell you this, just a little added thing. If there's any connection to, let's say, addiction to be hereditary in any way, or if you have an addictive personality, or if in any way alcohol can harm you or harm your children, or there's a psychological reason or a family system reason, in general, stay away from alcohol. But the Bible says, not given to much wine, moderate. This, by the way, is the same qualification for an elder. Not given to filthy liqueur. Now, what is that? Well, what that is if you're called into ministry, there's nothing about greedy gain for you. When you look at people, you don't look at them and monetize them or monetize certain situations. You treat everybody the same. The person could have absolutely no money, or they could have a lot of money, and you see them as a child of God. And when you talk to them, you're not thinking to yourself, ooh, I can get something from this relationship. You do not monetize anything. In your heart, it's just serve the Lord, and everybody that comes into your path is someone that God has put there. And again, that's a qualification for elder as well. Having the secret of the faith in a pure conscience. What that is that you are deeply spiritual with undivided person. It's what that talks about is that secret of the faith. In spite of all the doubt that's out there, in spite of all the testing, the mystery, the secret, the truth, the faith that lives in your heart with an undivided spirit is something that characterizes you. And let those also first be proven, and then let them minister. Now, it's fascinating to think about proven. As a minister, a leader, one in ministry, tests come. But tests would have already come to you in your general Christian walk. As you are seeking to proclaim Christ, life, the sinful nature, Satan's attacks will come to you. And as these come to you, how did you react to them? I know many people who have gone into ministry and they were attacked, and it was as if they fell in the attack already in ministry. I know people who fall in the attacks of life. But on the other hand, I also know people who have been in prison and they were attacked and thrown into prison because of the way they lived. And somehow through that whole attack, that tested them, and now they are on fire for the Lord. So if someone's going to go into ministry, if you're going to go into ministry, do you know that you know that you're not turning your back on God? Do you know that no matter what happens, God is your Lord. Christ is your Savior. Christ is your Lord. He is your priest. He is your everything. And the qualifications say this, let them be proven, but then let them minister. In other words, that word deaconus comes up again. Then let them deaconize. Then let them minister after they have been tested. Women in like manner grave. Now, it's fascinating here that translation could be wives. And many translations currently in English say wives here. But the reason it probably is not wives is because it goes back to meriting serious consideration, like in like manner grave. So what you see here is the discussion of women here who are called into ministry. Now, this is not the elder position where headship applies in a different way. This is in the order of Phoebe, in the order of Stephen, and in like manner, meriting serious considerations. Now, should the wives of deacons in general be ones who walk with the Lord? Yes, indeed. But in this particular, we can see that in the literal translation, the gynekos is talking about women here. So in like manner, women, not necessarily wives, but it could be, who are reverent, honorable, proven, honest. So that's that idea of meriting grave consideration. Not false accusers. Women who do not just find an accusation and it says not diabolical or not slanders or not gossips. So if you are a woman called into ministry, here is just these extra things written. Now they apply to men as well. But the Apostle Paul goes a little further and adds a few qualifications that he feels apply. Sober-minded, clear-thinking, circumspect, and self-aware. Someone who just doesn't look at an emotional response to a situation. Now, I'll tell you, when you single out men and women here, you can right away become politically incorrect, as we call it in America, where it's like, if I say, you know, are you saying all women are like this? Are you saying this? No, all I'm doing is giving you the text of the Bible, vigilant, sober-minded, clear-thinking, faithful in all things. And this faithful in all things is dependable, responsible. Why is Paul singling out women who are called into ministry and a few of these other things? You could say, well, it's in his day, these were some of the different struggles that women had in their gender that men did not have. And I don't know all the answers to that, but we hear faithful, dependable, responsible. Then we read back to Deaconess is referring to men here, but we could apply this to men and women. They should be, let them be of one wife husbands, is literal. Meaning, in this case, let them not be polygamous. Not a man with two wives or three wives, but that each person, one wife, one husband, one spouse. This is really a statement that the order of creation of one man, one woman in the book of Genesis is something that applies for the leaders in the church. So, men and women should not be in polygamous relationships. The children leading well, even in their own houses. Now, what this means is that are you holding family worship? Are you concerned that your children know the Lord? And again, this applies to men and women if they have families in their home. It's about having that passion to see their children know the Lord. Now, it's true that not every child may walk in the faith, but is the faith practiced and lived out? For those who do minister well, a good step to themselves do acquire. It's so neat about this one is in this thing is talking about as you lead well, God will open the doors for more ministry opportunities and even that well done, good and faithful servant someday. So a qualification and a result is that if you minister well, you will get an excellent standing in your walk with God and in preparation for more ministry. Again, your being a elder or a deacon or a leader or a minister does not save you, but it gives you that satisfaction. You know, one of the things that I think about is as I lead, I'm the one that grows. And much boldness, the Apostle Paul says, in faith that is in Christ Jesus. The fact, the more that you live out the faith, the more you live out your qualifications, the more confidence in the more reality, this in the Greek, it's boldness, frankness, reality in the faith of Christ, in Christ Jesus. That is what awaits you as you grow in those qualifications for ministry. So as you think about being ordained into ministry, check over these qualifications. Look at yourself. Ask your spouse if you have one. You know, are those qualifications, are they about me? Now again, I realize not everyone is perfect. You are not perfectly going to exhibit all these qualifications all the time. In fact, there will be times, maybe one or two of them, you will may really struggle with. But do you have that teachable spirit? Are you growing by the power of the Holy Spirit in these qualifications? Now these qualifications are beyond just the qualifications of a Christian, that there's an assumption those qualifications are already there. the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. So you could have these extra qualifications, but remember, to love your neighbor, to love God, to have that hope, all those are the general Christian qualifications. So as we talk about these special qualifications for leadership, I don't want you to forget the qualifications of every believer is to grow in the faith, faith, to grow in hope, hope, to grow in love, love. That faith, hope, and love, the qualifications of the Spirit-filled life, those are foundational. But these that I've just mentioned here are those extra qualifications for ministry that put your eyes and your heart to look at something to evaluate whether or not you're called into ministry. I'm glad you're taking this class, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you as you step toward your ministry ordination.